I mean.
We're all set. All right.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. So I guess, Bill, I'm looking to you as anything on the staff end, right? Today, not Ron necessarily, or still looking for Ron? If we have any introduction of guests, I'm used to looking at Ron, so we could introduce Allison. Not really a guest. Yes, sir.
May I introduce Aina Marcus to everyone?
Yes.
We are fortunate to have as a new Director of Finance and Administration, Aina Marcus, who joined us 2 weeks ago, November 1st. Came from Florida State University, where I think she'd been there 17 years or something close to that. 21 years in Hoos County. It just seemed like 17, maybe. She will be the right arm that Ron would have had to take care of a lot of administrative ideas. Unfortunately, Ron departed before she got here, but I thank Ron for still being available and helping her and coming in from periodic to kind of show her the right direction. But she has worked very hard to try to figure out everything in a short period of time and realize all of a sudden it's on my shoulders. But after we interviewed her, we were confident that she'd be the right person to take on the challenge. So welcome, ma'am. We're glad to have you part of our team.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You can't ask for a better introduction than from Dave. Right. So thank you, Dave, for doing that. And welcome. We are confident, to be sure. And yes, Ron, glad you're still hanging around virtually or in person. All right, so
does he look rested at all?
You know, it's hard
to tell. He looks like he needs something to do.
He looks bored to me.
That's just the black background. He's on a beach somewhere, right, Ron?
Yeah, Aini's keeping me pretty busy.
There's a lot to hand off for sure.
Just so Allison knows, I am around on a part-time basis through the end of the year. So to help with the transition. So I have not completely gone away yet.
That's good. We appreciate it. So I'm not sure if anyone's really a guest today because Allison, this is more routine for you and for Christy. But just if anyone doesn't know you, other folks on Zoom, you want to introduce yourself real quick? Or is everyone familiar?
Sure, I can go. I'm Allison Harrell. I'm a shareholder with Thomas Howell Ferguson, and we complete the audit for the authority and have been working with the authority for a number of years, not always in the shareholder capacity, but in a variety of different roles on the audit engagement.
Thank you very much.
She's being very modest. Because as a new rookie, she came in and found some issues that we need to deal with 12 years ago.
Has it been that long?
It was 13.
Seems like yesterday.
13 years ago. Sorry, we'll add one more year to that, yes.
But she lifted the stones and found the nest.
Yes. And then we changed the direction, yes. And, hey, I could put on my glasses here. Do we have Christy and Stephanie with us, or?
Just Christy.
Okay.
And then Shantae.
Shantae is with us. Okay. Welcome, Shantae. All right, now I can see the screen. That's good. Okay, with that, I suppose let's go ahead and do approval for participation by electronic means. Do you have a motion?
So moved.
Thank you. Second from Ray? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, passes unanimously. And I assume we have no public comment? Yeah. Approval of the March 9th meeting minutes? Any amendments, changes?
Move acceptance.
Thank you, Ray. Second?
Second.
Thank you. I'm voting, so I can't wait.
Okay, I'll quit looking. I'm looking here.
Yeah. I wasn't there for last
one. You weren't there, yes. No? I'm not sure how many of us were, but yeah. Us. Yeah. Okay. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. So jumping right into review of our audit committee charter. who is taking lead on this, or we can just ask questions. We have no amendments or changes for this year.
It's very well written.
It is very well written, yes. Again, they might know who wrote it. Yeah. I think it's pretty straightforward, but if everyone wants to just give it a glance. And we do need to approve the charter for this year, correct? Yeah. It just says review on the agenda, but I think a motion to approve it for this year would be good.
Move approval.
All right, approval in a second. Are you going to look it over?
No, I'm good.
Thank you. All right. All in favor of approval? Aye. Anyone opposed? Okay. Now we get to the fun stuff. Audit planning discussion for this year. Again, this is a little bit of transition for us. So anybody in particular taking the lead or...
Yeah, I can start if you want. Yeah, so, you know, the process is generally just to look at, you know, are there any issues that we anticipate or things that have changed, things to make the auditors aware of, the auditor to discuss anything they might have concerns about, anything that might give them some direction as to things they maybe want to look at, any potential risks. So, you know, I think the... you know, one of the biggest issues, obviously, is in the past their reliance on my presence. And just to know that I am going to be around through the end of the year, as I mentioned, and I will be able to help direct Aini and kind of bring her along a little bit after the end of the year. If there are things I need to address, I can. Obviously, the biggest issues are going to be around completing the GASB 68 information, which doesn't actually come until January 15th. We've got Christy Wicker teed up to look at that. We've got pretty good documentation on how the data that comes from the state gets boiled down. There's a pretty good spreadsheet with documentation embedded in it to get there. But again, Christy and Aini and I can review that before the end of the year. At least the process, and then when the data comes, they can work through that. The other part that I've had a role in is the management discussion analysis and reviewing the footnotes. The auditor typically updates the footnotes, but I would go through those and make sure that everything is, you know, to my expectations and my understanding of what's going on. But for the most part, that's pretty straightforward. The MD&A, management discussion analysis, that's fairly mechanical. The main portion there is just looking at what some of the highlights are for the year, the financial highlights, and we can discuss those items before the end of the year. But I can't really do the report until after the final audit is put together, because a lot of it is just pulling numbers from the financial statements. And in terms of any of the bigger issues, obviously the biggest item on the financial statements right now is the reporting for the EDA grant. I think the process was established last year, and I don't think we had any issues with the way we accounted for revenues and you know basically the whole process of accounting for those. It's all very much the same. So I don't anticipate any issues there, but it is something that is a significant item on the financial statement. We haven't had any changes in procedures or policies related to operations or accounting. We did do the GASB 87 related to the lease revenue recognition. And Christy took that over at the end of the year, and we had a spreadsheet for that as well, and she's updated that. We didn't have any new long-term leases, so that was pretty straightforward. You know, we have some new grants, but none of those have taken effect by the end of the year, but might be something, particularly the $720,000 EDA grant might be worth mentioning at some point in there. So that's the main items that I see, and the main thing that I'm asking for is that if, you know, we can get through the field work and, you know, any substantial questions you might have by December 30th, I think that would be helpful to get that done. Typically we do, occasionally some things come up when they're doing the final review, but for the most part, I think we get through it by the end of the year. Do you see any problems with that, Allison?
Yes, we're really just always waiting on the GASB 68 information, but we get through the majority of everything else by the end of the year.
Okay. So other than, you know, I need to make sure that INE gets added to SureLink so that she's seeing that information as well. SureLink is their online audit engagement management tool, which is really helpful. So she'll get access to that, and I can walk her through some of the things that go in there. Christy handles the majority of information requests that flow through there, but there are a couple things that INE can assist with, and I've already given her the heads up on confirmations, for example, and those are things that we typically assist with. So other than that, I don't really have anything else.
Good list, good summary. Honey, do you have any questions or anything? I know you're just drinking out of multiple fire hydrants right now, so you're probably good, but anything you wanted to ask or add?
I would work with that.
Okay.
I have one question. Ron, we're also subject to a separate and concurrent audit process through the EDA, is that correct?
I think what you're referring to is a single audit. And we are not yet subject to the single audit because we haven't received any money. And Allison, you can correct me, but I think it's based on receipt of funds.
Based on expenditure of funds.
Expenditure of their funds. They haven't reimbursed us for anything yet.
Okay.
Allison, So we just submitted our first reimbursement request to say, here's how much we've spent. It's about, I don't know, $3.5 million. And we have not received it yet.
So you spent the $3.5 million before 9/30/22?
Yes. Go ahead.
It's technically on the expenditures of grant money, not on the revenue side. So that's a little bit tricky that you haven't actually received it, but you've expended it and asked for the reimbursement request because that would fall under the single audit.
Yeah, because it's on a reimbursement basis. It's not on an advance of funds that we spend.
Right. So if you don't have any reason to believe from the EDA that you won't be reimbursed for those funds, then you would be subject to the single audit for this year, for the 9/30/22 audit, because it's not based on revenues, it's on expenses.
Oh, okay.
So that's a good segue. I was gonna talk about that.
Okay.
Good question.
The EDA grant was the big thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, if there's no reason to believe, because you should, you know, since you're recording the expenditures for the EDA grant, you've already submitted the reimbursement request. Are you recording the corresponding receivable?
Yes.
Yes. Then, yes. Yeah. Yes. You fall under the single audit this year.
Yay.
Fun.
Have fun with that.
So that will fall under your scope of work, but it's a separate audit. Just, is that what you all mean by the single audit? It's a separate audit just for that project and looking at the expenditures. Is that correct?
Yes. So they call it a single audit because we do it at the same time as the financial statement. So it's one single audit. Well, at least that's what I say, why they call it that. Maybe when they named it that, that was not the intent, but it is one single audit. And so you will be subject to the single audit this year, which would incorporate the compliance requirements. So it's a whole nother additional level to a governmental audit, which you've always been subject to governmental audit standards, which are one level above regular financial auditing standards. And now this adds another layer to your audit, which we test for grant compliance. You will complete a schedule of federal awards. And then we have to test certain items. And it's another kind of like mini audit within the financial statement audit for all of the grant compliance.
Separate report?
It is not a separate report. It's included with the report. So you'll have additional reports as part of the reporting package. So you'll have a schedule of federal awards, which will lay out the expenditures that occurred during the year. You will have a schedule of findings and question costs. That's a little misleading because we don't know if there's any findings or question costs right now, but that's what it's called. And those have different requirements for the auditors. And then you'll also have a report on compliance for each major federal program, which you will have one major federal program. So it's additional reporting to the already existing reporting package.
You don't see that causing any issues with a schedule or anything like that? Sorry, Ron.
Oh, I was mentioning that we also have a sub-award from city and county under the ARPA agreement.
Yeah, so ARPA is federal funds as well. So the ARPA funds will be a flow through, and that is considered federal awards.
It's $150,000 that was actually awarded to the North Florida Innovation Labs, IPTLH, the nonprofit. LCRDA is operating as a contractor providing services to IPTLH for reimbursement. I don't know if that adds a nice little complication to it as well, but I just thought I'd better bring that up because I don't know how you're going to handle that.
Yes, it does, Ron. Thank you. we will have to look at all of that and the flow through of the funds. And so that could, it won't add any additional testing because the $150,000 obviously would not qualify for a major program compared to $3.5 million. That's obviously the major program. And just for everybody's information, whenever we go through and look at the single audit, you have to go through and assess risk on a separate audit basis and look at the programs and determine which are considered to be the major programs. We only test certain programs and the ones that are considered to be major. Obviously, $3.5 million. You guys have never had a single audit since I've been working with the authority. So the $3.5 million would qualify as the major program. There's a certain requirement for a percentage of expenditures that we have to test during that audit. Obviously, compared to the $150,000, that would, you know, the $3.5 million would be the major program. But I'd have to look and see as far as the flow through of funds to see if it, you know, how that's reported on the schedule of federal awards.
We have a question up there from Shante.
Yes.
Will you read it off for the record?
Do you have to separate or separate audits for the two entities?
I want to clarify. For IPTLH and, Shante, is that what you meant for IPTLH and Innovation Park?
She's saying yes.
Okay. So did you all hear that question? Are there two separate audits for IPTLH and Innovation Park?
Well, there is no audit on IPTLH, right?
No, I'm looking. It's been so immaterial that we have not done anything on IPTLH.
But that may change if we now have $150,000 pass through? I think that's where, I'm guessing that's where Shante's question might have come from.
Yeah, but it's only, only been 90, about 90,000, I think, is about all that was earned through the end of the year. We're working with INE right now and trying to get reimbursement for that as well. But it's still in the scope, is probably not material enough to require an audit. Plus, there is no requirement for the audit. You know, it's a separate entity.
Is IPTLH registered with the Department of Agriculture?
Yes.
For solicitation, there is an audit and or a review requirement associated with that. It's a certain threshold of revenues.
Yay. Okay.
So.
So y'all take a look at that too?
We will need to take a look at that too to see. I think the 100. I'm thinking 150,000. Is that the total revenues for IPTLH?
They have not earned that yet or accrued that. It's only about 90,000, I believe.
Okay, that we might be able to still not have anything for that, I believe.
And that's all the grant. There's no other, they've not done any other fundraising activities other than everything else is membership fees.
What, but in adding the membership dues, what would be the total revenues then?
No, it's not material. It's a few thousand dollars more. Maybe maybe 12,000-15,000 more.
But Allison, if you're looking at when we trip a threshold, if a threshold is 100,000, that's where your questions come in. So it sounds like we need to look at the specifics on how much came in to IPTLH in this audit period. Is that right?
Yes. I'd have to double check the thresholds to see if you tripped a review. That would be what. At 100,000, I think the threshold was 250,000 to trip a review, but I need to double check the statute on that. But that would be the only requirement for IPTLH to have anything done, would be under that statute that governs the solicitation registration under the Department of Agriculture.
Christy has that financial statement. If you need that to take a look at. And yes, Shante, a review is different than an audit. Allison, can you explain that difference?
Yes. So a review is much less in scope than an audit. A review basically takes the financial statements, performs certain analytics and inquiries over balances, but we're not auditing the transactions. We're not required to test internal controls. Obviously, the internal controls, I think, are, you know, probably the same as for the authority, but we're not required to do any testing over transactions or anything like that in a review. A review is primarily, like I stated, analytics and inquiries. So substantially less in scope than an audit, but you do receive a set of financial statements with a review report attached to the financial statements and a full set of notes and everything. So that's the difference there.
And just so everyone knows, the single audit and any additional work required for the for IPTLH are not included in the scope of services that are included in the fee for Thomas Hall Ferguson. That's was always contemplated to be an addition to the current fee.
And we've not set a fee for this year.
For the audit?
Have we, Ron?
Yeah, for the LCRDA audit. Yeah, we did an amendment, if you recall.
Okay.
That set it for 2 years, I think. So.
Okay.
Yeah. You got an increase.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to remember if we set that for this year. But yes, you are correct. So the single audit would be an additional fee. It would be outside of the scope because that fee just included the financial statement audit, not the single audit portion.
So if I'm thinking about this correctly, we had a two-year extension. First year was last year. This will be the second. So going into next year's audit, FY23 to be done going into 24, that when the board reviews that fee for Thomas Howell Ferguson or whatever the process is, I'm not thinking ahead, probably need to think about IBTLH and the single audit, because that will be ongoing for several years. Is that correct? That's when it would become contemplated, the fee structure, everything else, it could be wrapped up in that next year? Or
actually, you're going to have to do an amendment to the agreement this year if they have to do additional services, and it sounds like they're going to. I just pulled up the amendment. We did an amendment back in April.
Ron, let me pause. Yeah, I skipped right over the amendment this year. That sounded like we were already there, that we would have to amend it for those two scope of services.
Yeah, but the amendment was for more than 1 year. So it was for the fiscal years ending September 30th, 2022 and September 30th, 2023. So we actually already amended for next year as well.
Got it.
So we've got the fee. The fee for this year is $19,800, and the fee for next year is $20,400. So it'll have to be in addition to those fees.
I just thought that would be good for the board to, and for everybody to be aware of what time point we need to review.
Yeah. So if they're going to have to do a single audit for this year and or an IPTLH review, then yeah, they're going to have to amend it. Allison will have to get you a fee for that.
Okay.
Yes. And
go ahead.
Well, and I just wanted to state that to trip the single audit, I don't know if you guys will trip it in 23, it's a $750,000 expenditure threshold.
We will.
Okay.
Bill, yeah.
It's a $12 million grant from the EDA, and so and we expect to have it substantially completed by January of 2024. So yeah, we'll be there.
Yes, then yes, you will. So I will, I can get that together as far as pricing goes on the single audit for 22 and 23. I will double check the statute for the solicitation requirement under the Department of Agriculture to see, and if Christy, if you could send the trial balance or give us the estimate of total revenues on IPTLH to see if there was anything tripped on that, so I can prepare that.
I'll send it.
Great. Any other surprises?
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Appreciate that.
So I don't really have a surprise, but there were some changes in auditing standards that require some additional communications. So we will issue a letter to the committee with a lot of those additional communications. And they're really just talking about a lot of our processes where the auditing standards didn't require a lot of these to be documented as far as discussions. Some of those discussions regarding our independence, as well as our risk assessment for the audit. So I like to give everybody a for the audit. And the two major risks that are really present for us in all audits are the revenue recognition. That's always a risk for an audit, as well as management override of controls. I've been issuing these letters and I get a lot of feedback from people at first when we started issuing them to say, oh, is there a concern? There's no concern from our part, but that is the way we have to address risks for every audit, is to look at those, determine the controls that are in place to mitigate those risks, test those controls, but just for the committee to know that those are risks that we look at. It does not mean that I have an elevated risk as far as the authority goes with either of those, revenue recognition or a management override of controls. But those are two risks that are present in all of our audits that we look at and address in our testing. So there will be a separate communication laying out those, as well as our independence and a couple of other matters that have been updated with the auditing standards. It really doesn't change anything on your financial statements except for the audit report itself. The audit report itself looks a lot different. So once we complete the audit and you'll look at the audit report, and if you try to compare it to last year, it looks a lot different. They said that they've made it clear that the opinion is listed first, where that used to be one of the last paragraphs. So it's just reordered a lot of the audit auditor's report. So just wanted to talk about those so that when the communication letter does come, we do need to complete, in order to issue that communication, we do need to complete the majority of our planning process, which we have not. You know, we've gotten the trial balance we received last week. So we're looking at that. And once we complete that, I will issue that letter. But that is only just due to the changes and updates in the auditing standards. And again, the only change that you will notice on your financial statements is in the auditor's report itself. The language is different and the order of the paragraphs are different.
Sounds good.
Allison, there was some things that came up with the audit. I believe it was the Auditor General's office. Yes. Some new reporting that was required this past year. Is that incorporated into your process for this year?
Yes. So that happens from time to time with the Auditor General. We would love for them to inform, you know, all the auditors in the state, but that's got to be a little difficult considering how many CPA and audit firms there are in the state. But they issued a new requirement just regarding some budgeting reporting. And so we had to go back and include that in the report. So that will be incorporated into the insurance report as well.
All right. Any other questions from board members? I know I've been asking a lot here, but I think Allison and Ron have walked us through a good bit. Good questions from Bill, Chante. Anything else? Okay. We do have a schedule in the agenda package. I guess that'll be item 9, so we'll approve that. Do we need a vote? I can't remember. I don't think we ever took a vote on just the general discussion of the audit process this year. So we don't need that. That'll come up in future audit meetings. Okay. All right, hearing nothing else, and I don't need to put on my glasses, right? No other comments from Chante?
No.
Okay, good. I can see the bubbles. Okay, so moving on to the audit schedule, do you all have any comments on that? It looks pretty straightforward. Somebody else will be chairing the meeting. Intent.
Yeah, that's just a pretty much a general guideline based on the meeting schedule for next year for exec and board of governors, and trying to hit that along with the GASB 68 information is published. So, you know, again, I think Peggy, did you go ahead and schedule that audit committee meeting for the 9th? I don't know if I have it listed here as tentative, but doesn't have to be that date, but that gets you done before the executive committee meeting so they can handle that process. But just other than that, it's just, you know, can Thomas L. Ferguson get that information delivered for the final draft report? When we say final draft audit report due to LCRDA on February 24th, that's anticipated that it's already been reviewed by all your folks, Allison, and that this is just ready to go at this point. But we've done all of our stuff on this end. That way it can then go through our agenda meeting process.
Should not be an issue, no.
Okay.
Any other questions about the schedule? All right. Motion to approve the schedule. I'm not sure we really need it, but we'll go ahead and do it anyhow.
Just move.
Okay, thank you.
Seconded.
Thank you. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. All right. So good. Sounds like we're getting more complicated every year, but that's just the cost of making progress, right? Is there any new business?
I'd like to acknowledge that this may be for a while our chair's last meeting that she will chair of this committee, and acknowledge that she's probably chaired every committee we've ever had. I also would like to acknowledge the work she did many years ago as a chairman to sort of kickstart this process of getting the laboratory built. We kind of talked about it a little bit, but she's the one that kind of really put it in motion. And I want her to know that this board appreciates all that she has done, what she has meant to us, the things that she's accomplished, and tell her that we're going to miss her sorely.
Thank you. Well, this is a week of blasts. So I just cleaned out my office because someone else is moving in. They have to paint. And I'll be chairing a transportation board meeting tomorrow, and I have one other board meeting, but and I don't mind putting this on the record. This is the one that really, if anyone's gonna get me, sorry to Greg Slay with transportation. I like that stuff too, but this has been an extraordinary process over the last 12 years. It'll be 12 years, beginning of December when I was first appointed to the board. So we have accomplished a tremendous amount. Ron, someday I'll see you not on screen. And we will toast to an incredible 10 years together. But I know it's in very, very good hands, all of you, board members, everyone on the staff, even if you'll only be here 2 weeks. Very, very confident. It's all in good hands. So, and I look forward to that ribbon cutting.
And I hope there's some opportunity we get you back on the board somewhere down the road.
Well, this is one area that I'm very passionate about. We have lots more. We've accomplished a lot. This organization has done more, I think, to help really push entrepreneurs and our commercialization forward in this community. Obviously, Domi, FSU, everyone's done a lot, but this organization has taken the biggest leap. And yeah, there's a lot more work to do for sure. So thank you. So you couldn't pick audit's fun. I was going to try to do it. We love it, Alice, and we love it. So I'm glad. So this is my last meeting. So with that, we're adjourned.